Hello, friends. This is Andy Atwell welcoming you to Come, Let Us Reason Together. This next half hour will be dedicated to putting the Bible back into its number one place in the hearts and minds of mankind. Throughout the centuries, the Bible remained the number one book sold. Only today has it taken a back shelf position in men's lives and minds. Even Christian bookstores have more books about the Bible than the Bible itself. The Bible is the only book written by God, and in it alone is found the pathway to life. Come now, let us reason together with Gilbert Larson and his friends.
Hello, everyone. This is Gilbert Larson welcoming you to Come, Let Us Reason Together. Though your sins are as scarlet, they will be white as snow. And it's time to come and reason together through the scriptures, grab a cup of coffee, and we're going to go through the Passover. We're going to take a break from going through the book of Revelation. We'll get back into that because it is close to the time that they take the Passover. I thought we would go through a bunch of scriptures on the Passover. In Exodus 13:9, when people take the Passover, God said it'll be a sign on your hand and a reminder on your forehead. Isn't that interesting? We just went through the mark of the beast, and he's going to cause all small and great to receive a cherugma mark either on their forehead or their hand. And this is a place that we actually need to be worshiping and serving God, and especially during his Passover and his main feasts. And we will go into those. But anyway, we're not to receive the mark, and we're not to worship the beast. And I thought I'd bring this up before I'd forgotten. Proskuneo means to worship, and we are not to. And that pro is towards, and kuneo is to kiss. So we're not to kiss up to the beast or the Antichrist, to worship him or his image or receive a mark on our forehead or hand. That is a place that when we get into Exodus 13:9, we are going to look at the Passover. And those, my friend, are a sign. When we take the Passover, is a sign on our hand and a reminder on our forehead. So let's get started in the Passover. Passover is mentioned many times. Jesus took the Passover in the New Testament. We're going to read about the first institution of the Passover. And did you know what is custom with Jews is to go back over, and God told them to do this, to go back over coming out of Egypt, how God brought them out with a mighty hand and brought them out of Egypt. It actually starts, we're going to start with the part of the Egypt story and go through the Passover, how it was first instituted in Exodus, and so on. Now, there are instances of them eating unleavened bread and so on in the book of Genesis. We won't get into that at this time, but actually, this Passover goes even back before then. But it is a reminder, especially of coming out of Egypt. But man and God used to eat together, and that is found in the Bible. In Genesis 18 is a place where God and man ate. But anyway, that aside, we're going to go to the institution that we all know of the Passover, which is found in Exodus 11, 1 through 10. And this is, again, one of my favorite topics. I love to go through this one. It's a lot of fun. These are the plagues. The eighth plague was the locusts. Well, let me just list them all here first. The first one starts with chapter 7, the Nile being turned to blood. And this was to show God's people. These plagues were against Egypt, but they were to show God's people that all these gods that they had grown to worship in Egypt by being there for 430 years, these things had started affecting them. And so these plagues were against the gods of Egypt to show God's people that they indeed were nothing compared to God. The first plague was the Nile was turned to blood. The second one, the frogs came on the land. The third one is the gnats. And the magician's authority ends with the frogs. And then the gnats, the third, and then the fourth is insects or flies. And then God, at this one, God puts a dividing line between Goshen and Egypt. Then the fifth one is the cattle, the livestock in Egypt die, but not one in God's protected area called Goshen, not one dies. Sixth thing is boils, and this is where the magicians could no longer stand before Moses, and so they had to skedaddle for Seattle. And in Goshen, they were again separated. And the seventh is hail. I believe this is going to be the same in the last days. Some people call it rapture or whatever. We will go through a period of trial. They did in Egypt. They were not separated away until the fourth, until the flies. The Nile turned to blood, the frogs, and the gnats, and it wasn't until the flies that God set up a demarcation. I believe also there's going to evidences that we will go through some trials. Otherwise, God would not say so. Except those days be shortened. For the elect's sake, those days will be shortened. That's in Matthew 24. Hail the seventh, locust the eighth, darkness the ninth. And that happened, remember, when Jesus hung on the cross, there was darkness. And then the death of the firstborn. Now, this is exactly where we're going to start in Exodus chapter 11. And we're going to read the first context, or the first part of this, is the explanation. Actually, it's all of chapter 11. It's a little shorty. Okay, now, Yahweh said to Moses, "One more plague I will bring on Pharaoh and on Egypt. After that, he will let you go from here. When he lets you go, he will surely drive you out from here completely. Speak now in the hearing of the people that each man ask his neighbor and each woman for her neighbor for articles of silver and articles of gold." And this is where God repays Israel for all their toil. They did not get wages, and he gives them grace in the sight of the Egyptian people, and they collect their wages for 430 years, they get all their wages and they leave with their pockets full. And don't you believe that God is going to do the same for us? Did you know the wicked, it says, store up for the righteous? And Yahweh gave the people favor in the sight of the Egyptians. Furthermore, the man Moses himself was greatly esteemed in the land of Egypt, both in the sight of Pharaoh's servants and in the sight of the people. Moses says, "Thus says Yahweh, about midnight I am going into the midst of Egypt, and all the firstborn in the land of Egypt shall die." And this, you see, is where the Passover starts. So God is going to go through the midst of Egypt. At midnight, all the firstborn in the land of Egypt will die, from the firstborn of Pharaoh who sits on his throne, even to the firstborn of the slave girl who is behind the millstones, all the firstborn of the cattle as well. Moreover, there shall be a great cry in all the land of Egypt, such as there has not been before, and such as shall never be again. But against any of the sons of Israel, a dog will not even bark, whether against man or beast, that you may understand how Yahweh makes a distinction between Egypt and Israel, God's chosen, where his chosen people live. And he's actually talking the nations. "All these your servants will come down to me and bow themselves before me, saying, 'Go out, you and all the people who follow you,' and after that I will go out." And he went out from Pharaoh in hot anger. And then Yahweh said to Moses, "Pharaoh will not listen to you, so that my wonders will be multiplied in the land of Egypt." Moses and Aaron performed all these wonders before Pharaoh, yet Yahweh hardened Pharaoh's heart, and he did not let the sons of Israel go out of his land. Now, this is the next context. And so this is the plague against the firstborn. Now, this is going to be the solution or the remedy. It's just like you get an inoculation, you get, let's say, malaria, you get, or against smallpox, you get a vaccination, or against certain things. There are certain vaccinations that you can get or things you can do. Like when they built the Panama Canal, they had to eradicate malaria because that killed so many people. It still kills a great multitude today. First thing, if they were going to build the Panama Canal, they had to eradicate this plague. Well, God will also take care of this plague. This plague will be on the land. He'll divide Egypt from Israel. But this is what the Israelis, this is what the sons of God must do so that their firstborn do not die. And it is called the Passover. So let's get right into it. The first place we're going to read is Exodus 12, 1 through 13. Now Yahweh said to Moses and Aaron in the land of Egypt, "This month shall be a beginning of months for you. It is to be the first month of the year to you. This Passover is so huge that God changes the calendar and he starts the calendar over again in the month Abib." And he says, "Hold everything, stop the presses. Start the new calendar. Everything is going to change." Of course, it is looking ahead to Jesus dying on the cross, which again started the whole calendar all over again. We have before Christ BC and Anno Domini AD, which means in the year of our Lord, after his death. And somewhere it is accurate within 20 or so on years of the Jewish calendar. "This month shall be a beginning of months for you." In other words, this event is going to be so huge, start the calendar over again. "It is the first month of the year to you. Speak to all the congregation of Israel, saying, on the 10th of this month, they are to each one to take a lamb for themselves according to their father's household, a lamb for each household. Now, if the household is too small for a lamb, then he and his neighbor nearest to his house are to take one according to the number of persons in them. According to what each man should eat, you are to divide the lamb. Your lamb shall be an unblemished male, a year old." Jesus had neither spot nor blemish. He who knew no sin, Jesus was perfect in every way. "You may take it from the sheep or from the goats. You shall keep it until the 14th day of the same month, and the whole assembly of the congregation of Israel is to kill it at twilight." Even tells the time to kill it. "Moreover," and as a matter of fact, Jesus died at the very hour of the Passover. Did you know that Judas Iscariot got paid? His blood money was the price of a Passover lamb, and Jesus died at the hour of the Passover. I'm spilling all the beans, but it is so exciting to see all these things that came to pass through our Lord Jesus Christ. "Then the whole assembly of the congregation of Israel is to kill it at twilight. Moreover, they shall take some of the blood and put it on the two doorposts." Now, first comes the death, then the blood, and it goes exactly along with Romans chapter 5, verses 1 through 11. Jesus did three things. Before the blood works, there has to be a death. And it says, "While we were yet sinners, Christ died for the ungodly. While we were yet without strength, he died for us." And it says, "Even more so, we are now saved by his blood. But when we were enemies to God, we were reconciled to God by the death of his son." And then thirdly, his resurrection. So what we're going to see in the Passover is the looking ahead to Jesus' death on the cross, his going into the oven or the belly of the earth, and on the third day, him rising. Now look at the unleavening. Because Jesus knew no sin, he had no leavening in him, no leavening agent like a yeast or whatever. And because he had no sin, when he went into the belly of the earth, he came out unchanged. It had no change over him. And so He was victorious over death because he was perfect. He was the Son of God. Anyway, he had to be an unblemished male, a year old, there to keep it till the 14th day from the 10th. Kill it at twilight. Moreover, they shall take some of the blood and put it on the two doorposts and on the lintel of the houses in which they eat it. And they shall eat the flesh that same night, roasted with fire. They shall eat it with unleavened bread and bitter herbs. Do not eat any of it raw or boiled at all with water, but rather roasted with fire, both its head and its legs along with its entrails. And you shall not leave any of it over until morning, but whatever is left of it until morning you shall burn with fire. Now you shall eat it in this manner. This is how you're supposed to eat it, with your loins girded. Remember in the armor of God, it says having our loins girded about with truth. So we're to eat it and truthfully. God is a spirit, and they that worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. So this is the manner in which you shall eat it, your loins girded, your sandals on your feet. And why not read the Bible when you take it? Because it says having our feet shod, again, in Ephesians 6, the armor of God. I just thought of this. And our feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. Good news, not bad news here. And your staff in your hand, and you shall eat it in haste. It's the Lord's, it's Yahweh's Passover. It belongs to Yahweh. It is his dinner table. And for I will go through the land of Egypt on that night, and I will strike down all the firstborn in the land of Egypt, both man and beast. And against all the gods of Egypt, I will execute judgments. I am Yahweh. And this is exactly what all these 10 plagues were about. He executed judgment against all the gods of Egypt to show his people they are not gods at all. And God is God, and that's all we need to know. The blood shall be a sign for you on your houses where you live, and when I see the blood, I will pass over you, and no plague will befall you to destroy you when I strike the land of Egypt. So we need to have that blood on our doorposts and on the lintel of our door. And we'll get into the New Testament and show you how that works. This is the New Testament way. But it fulfills the Old Testament also. We're going to go now into Exodus 12, 14 through 22. The Passover is also called the Feast of Unleavened Bread. It all takes part at the same time. And there's another feast involved in it, which is the Feast of First Fruits. They all happen at one gathering, and it happened at one time. And it began with the Feast of Unleavened Bread and the Passover and the Feast of First Fruits. That's the first great gathering, the first holy convocation that starts the year. Then 50 days later was the Feast of Pentecost, or Feast of Weeks in the Old Testament, the Pentecost in the New. Well, Pentecost, Acts chapter 1 and 2, look at it there. And then the third holy convocation or convocation is calling together when God calls his children together was in the seventh month. And that started with the Feast of Trumpets, the Feast of Atonement, and the Feast of Booths. One convocation, the first convocation, unleavened bread, the Feast of Unleavened Bread, including the Passover feast and the Feast of First Fruits. I'll repeat it again. Then the second great calling together. God called his servants to appear before him three times a year. The second one was simply the Feast of Weeks or Pentecost. And then thirdly, the third great gathering together that all happened at the same time began with the Feast of Trumpets and included the Atonement and also the Feast of Booths. So anyway, we're going to continue on now. This is the 10th plague, which includes the Passover feast. This is the end where God finishes his judgment against the gods in Egypt. And this story is to be rehearsed every time the Passover is taken. So we're going to read this story. This would be like just sitting like in a Jewish house and going over this, which we do. You see? Now this day will be a memorial to you, and you shall celebrate it as a feast to Yahweh. Throughout your generations, you are to celebrate it as a permanent ordinance. It never ends, you see. 7 days, it'll become renewed and enlightened in the New Testament, but it doesn't change. 7 days you shall eat unleavened bread, but on the first day you shall remove leaven from your houses. For whoever eats anything leavened from the first day until the seventh day, that person shall be cut off from Israel. Now, it says, beware of the leaven of the Pharisees and the Sadducees, which is untruth, you see, not the Bible. Things that men make up in their own minds. On the first day you shall have a holy assembly, and another holy assembly on the seventh day. No work at all shall be done on them except what must be eaten by every person that alone may be prepared by you. You shall also observe the feast of unleavened bread, for on this very day I brought your hosts out of the land of Egypt. I brought them out of the oven. And therefore you shall observe this day throughout your generations as a permanent ordinance. In the first month, on the 14th day of the month, at evening you shall eat unleavened bread until the 21st day of the month at evening. 7 days there shall no leavening be found in your houses. For whoever eats what is leavened, that person shall be cut off from the congregation of Israel, whether it is an alien or a native of the land. You shall not eat anything leavened in all your dwellings. You shall eat unleavened bread. Then Moses called for all the elders of Israel and said to them, go and take for yourselves lambs according to your families and slay the Passover lamb. You shall take a bunch of hyssop and dip it in blood, which is in the basin, and apply some of the blood that is in the basin to the lintel and two doorposts, and none of you shall go outside the door of his house until morning. So this is being introduced to the Feast of Unleavened Bread, which is part of the Passover. We'll continue on. Matthew 12, 23 through 32. For Yahweh will pass through to smite the Egyptians, and when he sees the blood on the lintel and on the two doorposts, Yahweh will pass over the door and will not allow the destroyer to come into your houses and smite you. Look at the end times. I want the blood on the doorposts and on the lintel of my heart. I want God to see, and when the destroyer passes over, I want him to pass over. And you shall observe this event as an ordinance for you and your children forever. Now, when did forever end? When you enter the land which Yahweh will give you, as he promised, you shall observe this rite. When your children say to you, what does this rite mean to you? You shall say, it's a Passover sacrifice to Yahweh, who passed over the houses of the sons of Israel in Egypt when he smote the Egyptians, but spared our homes, and the people bowed low and worshipped. Then the sons of Israel went and did so just as Yahweh had commanded Moses and Aaron, so they did. So we got to verse 28, and from there on we will continue tomorrow until we meet again. May God lead you into all truth.
You can contact Gilbert and his friends at www.gilbertandfriends.com. That's www.gilbertandfriends.com. If you have any questions or comments, please call me, Andy, at 360-600-6726 or Gilbert at 480-205-3346. That's Andy at 360-600-6726 or Gilbert at 480-205-3346. We invite your comments as we reason together through the Bible. Thank you for joining us on Come Let Us Reason Together and reminding you all to eat a healthy breakfast every morning. Our favorite breakfast is the Bible because it is written, man does not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God.